Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Thanks so much for being with us here. We're always so happy that we get to spend this time with you. I know I am. Today, I don't know if we're going to be a little mellow today or what, because we've had a retreat day here at Catholic Answers, a day of reflection and renewal with Father David McConey, who came out and did magnificent, beautiful retreat with us. But maybe I feel mellow from the retreat. How do you feel? Carlo Broussard, our guest this hour. How do you feel?
Hey,
you never talk until I say your name.
Sorry. That's right. I was being a good boy today. I was not messing up the radio introduction here. Like I did last time. Yeah, let's see. Mellow or excited? Okay. I don't know. I kind of feel your mellowness thing going, you know?
Yeah.
I understand where you're coming from, but I think it's time to get pumped up.
Okay. All right. Get pumped up. Father David McConey will be here tomorrow with us, actually, on the air, and we'll do Ask a Priest with him, and he's going to record a Focus episode with us, our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus. And man, is he a great priest. I like that Jesuit.
Yeah. Today, I was really tuned in to his presentations.
Yeah.
Like, I remember he spoke at our conference.
Yeah.
One of the conferences we did. I can't quite remember exactly.
And you were probably thinking about what you had to say next.
Yeah, I wasn't really tuned in to his presentation, so I didn't really get to hear him and his thought process and how he articulates things. But I must say, in the two conferences or presentations that he gave for our retreat today, I was very impressed.
Yeah.
And he was spot on. He was articulating things very clearly. He has a great wit about him.
Right, he does.
And so I was very impressed. And what was interesting, in being a Jesuit, I noticed a lot of things he was saying overlaps with my training with Father Spitzer when I was going through training.
Oh, because he's a Jesuit as well.
That's right.
Oh, isn't that funny?
And still, I still do some work with Father Spitzer on the side, you know, and help him out on some things. And so I can see a lot of overlap there in their training.
Yeah.
So that was interesting to see. But he made a lot of good points today that I was able to take and administer to me.
Yeah, I did.
I felt
the same way.
Upon it.
I felt the same way. And he took it from St. Ignatius Loyola, the spiritual exercises.
Right?
And it made me think, if I get the chance, I'd like to do the 30-day retreat sometime.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
I have not done it, no.
I'd like to do it silent.
Right.
Like, don't you do it silent?
Or I must say, if I ever get that opportunity, my wife needs to have it first. She gets first dibs.
Oh, yeah, because she's with
five kids all day, homeschooling. So
right.
I am definitely not taking that before my wife. So, honey, if you're listening, if the opportunity comes, you got a green light.
Well, see, my kids are grown, so my wife would probably be thrilled to have me go on a 30-day retreat. She's probably looking up right now. Where can I send them? Where do they do this? Our number is 888-318-7884. And after a day of retreat and reflecting on the Catholic faith and the gift of the Catholic faith to us, today we're going to talk about if it matters whether or not to be Catholic. Why does it matter to be Catholic? And it does matter to be Catholic, but there are various folks who will object and say it doesn't matter to be Catholic. And that's what Carlo is here to talk with you about, 888-318-7884. Certainly, there are many non-Christian people who would say, well, you know, basically the religions are all the same, or they're all, you know, they may be different, but they all go to the same place. It doesn't really matter. And there's an answer to that.
Sure, indeed.
And then we also have many, many non-Catholic Christian people who, they're not going to say every path is the same. They're going to say Jesus Christ is the one and only Savior, the one way to heaven.
But, and we say amen
and
as
we
Catholics?
Say amen to that. But they're going to say, I don't need the priests. I don't need the sacraments. I don't need all of that. That stuff doesn't matter. All that doctrine doesn't matter. What matters is my personal relationship with Jesus or something along those lines. And then, unfortunately, the way we'll get a lot of these calls today, the Catholics.
Right.
Who say, it doesn't matter because the church teaches you can be saved if you're, you know, I don't know, say a tribesman on an island in the Pacific in the 1400s and the gospel's never gotten to you, you can be saved by responding to God's grace.
Or if you've been going to a Protestant church all your life and you die a Protestant, it's possible to be saved.
Right. And so I think we get a little, we exaggerate that teaching sometimes probably to, well, then everybody is saved then. And
but that would be a false inference.
That's a dangerous inference.
That's what you call a non sequitur.
Yeah. So why, if you're one of those in one of those categories, or if you're, you know, you have family members who are in those categories, and you'd really like to say, no, look, it matters to be Catholic. It's not just like, you know, everybody. It's not like being a Yankee fan or a Red Sox. Well, no, that matters too, but in a totally different way.
But them are fighting words, right?
Yeah. But even that, like, right. It's not like whether you're a Yankee or a Red Sox fan or a Padres fan. I should say that because we're on the air here in San Diego now. But it's different than that. It matters in a fundamental way.
Sure.
Being Catholic matters in a fundamental way.
Yes.
Yes. And so that's what we want to talk about today. For the 2 hours that we're going to be having a conversation, we want to talk about why it matters to be Catholic, or hear from those who do not think it matters to be Catholic and why. Or whether, like you said, you're engaging in a conversation with someone. Now, the Catholic claim is that it does matter to be Catholic. And I think the first and foremost reason is that because it is the church, as we claim, that Jesus Christ established. Yeah. And so given our love for Jesus, we want to belong to the church that he established. Secondly, there are many gifts that Jesus has given over to his church, has entrusted to his church, so that we can participate in, right? And these are many gifts that Jesus longs to give us, longs for us to have, to share in, so that we can experience the joy that he came to give us, as the scriptures say, I have come that your joy may be complete. And there are certain gifts that he has given to the church ordered toward completing that joy, to perfect us as human beings, and to foster intimacy with him and our relationship with him. And Jesus desires for all people to have those gifts. And I'm talking about the sacraments, the 7 sacraments. I'm talking about the gift of the papacy. These are gifts that are given to us to help us as followers of Jesus. And so consequently, Jesus wills for all people, right? Has a desire for all people to come and share in those gifts, these great goods, to come and possess them in order to experience the happiness that he desires for them to experience. And so that's another reason why it matters to be Catholic. You know, Cy, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith in 2007 put out a doctrinal note on evangelization, and it articulates a variety of objective reasons why it matters to be Catholic, right? Because we're going out evangelizing. This is a very important question, right?
Yes.
Because if
yes.
you don't think that it matters to be within the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church, well, then guess what? You're not going to go out and evangelize. You're not going to be going sharing the good news of the fullness of truth that subsists in the Catholic Church, as the 2000 document Dominus Iesus states, right? And so it's important that we articulate reasons why it matters to be Catholic. And this doctrinal note on evangelization in 2007 does just that. Whenever it's talking about the specific audience that the note is talking about here is non-Christians, right? And saying how they're lacking a tremendous benefit in this world to know the true face of God and the friendship of Jesus Christ, right? And the revelation of the fundamental truths about God, the human person, and the world. Now, we can take that same line of reasoning and direct it also to even our Protestant brothers and sisters, of course, who know God, they know the friendship of Jesus, they know the revelation of some fundamental truths about God, the human person, and the world. And so we can take the same line of reasoning and say, hey, you know, those who are lacking some of these fundamental truths that Christ came to reveal to us are lacking a tremendous benefit, right, in this world. And how these things that Christ has given us, as the doctrinal note states, are great goods for every human person, right? And how it's an inestimable benefit, it states, to live within the universal embrace of the friends of God and the communion in the life-giving flesh of his Son, the certainty of the forgiveness of sins, right? And to live in the love that is born of faith. Some of these benefits, some people don't have any of them. Some people have only some, not all. And so these are great goods that we want everyone to possess. It goes on to conclude, the church wants everyone to share in these goods, right?
Yes.
So if the church wants everyone to share in these great goods that belong to us as Catholics, well, then I, as a Catholic, should want to share these great goods with everyone. It goes on, so that they may possess the fullness of truth and the fullness of the means of salvation in order to enter into the freedom of the glory of the children of God, quoting Romans 8:21. So that sort of provides us a nice basis here to begin our discussion, that we as Catholics, out of love, desire everyone to come to possess and to experience the great goods that we have as Catholics in the Catholic Church. It is not in some triumphalistic manner.
No.
You're wrong, we're right. Although, objectively speaking, some people are wrong and our doctrine is right. But it's not in the triumphalistic sense. It's out of love. Because we love, which is to will the good of another and to do everything you can possible to try to help somebody experience that good, we want to share these goods with others. And that's why it matters to be Catholic, because these are great gifts that our blessed Lord has come to give us. And the gift giver wants us to experience the gifts.
Amen. 888-318-7884, our number. We'd really like to talk to you if you are a person who does not believe it matters to be Catholic, of whatever your objection is, from the atheist objection all the way right within the Catholic Church objection. 888-318-7884. And I think there's some of this modern, our modern mindset, we think, yeah, sure, it matters. It doesn't really matter. I mean, it matters, you know,
because it makes you feel good, gives you peace and comfort and security.
Right.
But it doesn't really matter, because the assumption is, objectively,
you're
it's
gonna
not
be
really
all right
true.
In the end. Right. Yeah. Or objectively, it's not true. Right. Right. Exactly. That's
some sort of religious relativism thing.
Yeah. And I wonder, when we're like that, because I do think it's a temptation for most of us, if we're remembering God's great mercy to us and the gifts that he's given to us, or if maybe we haven't experienced them fully. And so we don't know what the gift is that we're supposed to be sharing. We don't know.
Oh, very good insight. Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, did you hear that?
Well, a lot, because it comes from personal testimony, right? If we have not personally encountered our Lord and our Lord in and through the Catholic Church, well, then we're not going to know that good is there, and thus not be motivated out of love to share that great good with others.
Yeah, if we just know the Catholic Church is what my family's always gone to and what I go to,
right,
and not as the place where I meet Jesus and I get all these gifts,
That's why I just want one last thing. Sorry about to interrupt you here. And that's why we're here today. If there's people out there who don't think that the Catholic Church is a good, or there are certain goods in the Catholic Church that we need to have, we'd like to hear from them as well. Or if somebody's just inquiring and wants to know about these goods, right,
amen,
that we have as Catholics, because maybe they find themselves in a situation, well, I don't really know what's good about the Catholic Church, so let me give these guys a jingle. Yep. So we'd love to hear from you.
888-318-7884, our number. Now is the perfect time to inquire about the Catholic faith, because you're still alive. That's the best time to do it while you're still alive. 888-318-7884, right back after this.
Call us now with your question on Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hey, it's Wednesday, and that means a new episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus, has dropped. You can check it out at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Catholic Answers Focus, the world's premier podcast on Catholic apologetics, now available every Wednesday at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN, the EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number. 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Killett, your host. Carlo Broussard is our guest. Carlo, the author of three books so far, fourth one to come out shortly. He's the author of, first, of Prepare the Way, Overcoming Obstacles to God, the Gospel, and the Church. The second one, Meeting the Protestant Challenge, How to Answer 50 Biblical Objections to Catholic Beliefs.
You got it, brother. Good job.
And Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. And if you don't agree with us that it matters in a vital way, it matters whether or not you are Catholic. As a matter of fact, you should be Catholic. We'd go that so far as to say, be Catholic. Come into the church. The gifts are amazing. 888-318-7884 is the number you can call. 888-318-7884. Maybe you want some help explaining to someone else why the Catholic faith matters. 888-318-7884. Certainly, part of the reason why there is confusion over this point is that the Christian community is shattered and divided in ways that it wasn't, I don't know, say 1,000 years ago today. And so there's a sense that, well, you know, whether I'm a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran or a Catholic, that doesn't really matter. What matters is that I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. Well, that does matter more than anything else. The fact that Jesus loves you matters more than anything else. But that doesn't mean it doesn't matter whether or not you are Catholic. 888-318-7884. It doesn't mean it doesn't matter whether or not you receive the seven sacraments that Christ himself gave us, or that you have the magisterial teaching of the church, or that you have a communion of fellow Christians all around you on this globe and for the many billions who have passed on and live in a communion of saints with you. It all matters. 888-318-7884. If you'd like some help with that, you are welcome to call. I feel like sometimes the way I just said it, I feel like a little bit I'm picking on Protestants, but the whole modern world is shattered in a way.
I mean,
there's like, I remember reading from Walker Percy one time saying, you get on the average city bus with 60 people on it, there's 60 different worldviews on the bus with you.
Right.
You know, like we just don't all live in the same world. And for some people, it's unimaginable that it's the Catholic Church that's the thing that I need.
We all live in the same world, but we all don't relate to it the same.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the Catholic claim would be that the Catholic understanding of reality is the solution to the problem of modern man, right? Modern man's purposelessness, meaninglessness, running around like a head, like a chicken with his head cut off or something, right?
Right.
Not having any purpose in life and, you know, sort of wallowing in the negativity. How do you make sense out of suffering and pain in life and the darkness and the trials and the tribulations? Well, the Catholic view, which is the whole view of Christian revelation, is the solution to that problem, because it reveals to us the purpose and meaning of life, where we're coming from and where we're going. We're coming from God. We're ordered to God. Now, you might say, well, our Protestant brothers and sisters have that as well. Yes, we do. But Jesus has given to us in the Catholic Church the fullness of the means to achieve that ultimate goal in life, to achieve the ultimate purpose in life. And so this is why the fullness of the gospel, as we say, subsists in the Catholic Church, as taught by the Second Vatican Council, is a great good for everyone. Whether you're non-Christian or a non-Catholic Christian, it matters, because these are the means that the church is the means that Jesus has established here on earth, the ordinary means by which we are to achieve that ultimate goal of union with him in the beatific vision.
Yeah.
And so that's the vehicle our Lord ordinarily wants us to hop in when the door is open to us.
Right. Yeah, that's a great metaphor. Your ride's here, hop in.
That's
like,
right.
Why do you want to walk?
That's right. And now, for our listener's sake, it is important to note this does not mean that unless the car is there, you're not getting to the destination. No, God can just pick you up and put you there, right?
Yeah.
In other words, God, as the Catechism states in paragraph 1257, God has bound salvation to the sacraments, but he himself is not bound by the sacraments. So God can work outside of the visible boundaries of the church, the ordinary means of salvations. But at the same time, we don't want to say that the ordinary means of salvation is not important. Because if
why
it
else would he have given
that,
it to us?
Amen, brother. You got it. Why else would he give it to us? So that he gave it to us reveals that it's Christ's will for us to hop in the car when it's open.
Let's go to Louisiana. You been there?
Let me think. Meh. Do I sound like I come from Louisiana, Cher?
A little bit, Cher.
A little bit.
Cher. I can't ever say it right. Cher.
Cher. There you
Cher.
Go.
Okay.
Well, at least that's how we say it.
All right. Listening on Catholic Community Radio, Lynn in Louisiana. You are next. Thank you for waiting, Lynn. Well, go ahead. I'll just say, go ahead with your question for Carlo. Lynn?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you called somebody else.
No, okay, you.
Yes, my question. I'm sorry. My question is, first of all, I do believe in being Catholic. I am Catholic, and I wouldn't want to be in any other religion.
Right.
But I had studied in a theology course a while back, and we studied Lumen Gentium, and I always found Lumen Gentium chapter 8 kind of confusing and kind of saying, I could never understand it. It seems like it was saying all religions were okay because they had some truth to it.
Mm.
That's one concern. And then the other thing, and I can't tell you the scripture passage, but remember when the disciples told Jesus that there were others who were not part of the disciples, but they were speaking in Jesus's name, and they said, we have to stop them, or do you want us to stop them? And he said, no, don't stop them. And I can't remember the exact response he gave them, but it did sound like,
if they're not against us, they're okay, for us.
Anything is okay. So okay. I just wanted to see if you had any clarification on that.
Okay, Lynn. Well, thank you for your twofold question here. It's fantastic. So let's talk about the first question concerning Lumen Gentium. In section 8 of Lumen Gentium, for our listeners' sake, this is the Dogmatic Constitution on the Church from the Second Vatican Council. It does state, although that there are many elements of sanctification and of truth found outside of the Church's visible structure. And then it states, these elements as gifts belonging to the Church of Christ are forces impelling toward Catholic unity. So that's what the document states. But Lynn, that does not mean that all religions are the same, nor does it mean that the Catholic Church is irrelevant. What it is affirming is that outside the visible boundaries of the Church, there are going to be, as other documents the Second Vatican Council talked about, seeds of truth. There are going to be elements of sanctification, elements of truth. Now, we can think about that, Lynn, in two ways. So let's just consider non-Catholic Christians, right? So if a Christian outside of the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church is a Christian validly baptized and on condition that they haven't committed mortal sin, they got sanctifying grace in their soul. And so that's an element of sanctification. That doesn't mean the Catholic Church now is somehow not true. What that means is that the grace they have in their soul is coming from a valid sacrament that ultimately has its origin in the church established by Jesus Christ, namely the Catholic Church. That same non-Catholic Christian is going to have some elements of truth. They're going to be professing Jesus as Lord and Savior. They're going to be professing that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three equal from all eternity and are God. Those are elements of truth. And in as much as it is truth, we say amen. But that doesn't mean, once again, that the Catholic Church is somehow not the original church established by Jesus. That simply means that this group of Christians who have broken away from the Catholic Church are retaining some truths that originally were entrusted to the church established by Jesus Christ. Now, to go a little bit further, Lynn, consider this. Let's think about a non-Christian, somebody who's never heard of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're going to have some elements of truth that they can know by reason alone. So they might come to the conclusion that God exists and that he's the infinite reality creator of all things other than himself. Inasmuch as they say that, that's true. And we affirm that and we recognize that truth. But that doesn't mean the entirety of whatever religion they're belonging to is true. It's just simply saying that belief is true, as we affirm as Catholics. And so this is how there can be elements of sanctification and truth in both non-Catholic Christian traditions as well as non-Christian traditions outside the visible boundary of the Catholic Church without losing the truth that the Catholic Church is the original Christian franchise, the church established by Jesus Christ, okay? So what do you think of that so far before I go on to the second part of your question?
No, thank you. That's good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So now let's consider what Jesus said that you brought up. You were referencing Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 41. And it is true, there was someone driving out demons in the name of Jesus, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us, and I'm going to have to wrap it up on the other side of the break. So hang on.
Lynn, can you hang on a second?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. We'll take a quick break then and be right back with more on why the Catholic Church matters. Your calls welcome, 888-318-7884. Carlo Broussard, our guests. We'll be right back. Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. It's free, and you'll have instant access to our daily broadcast, the schedule of upcoming shows, and you'll even be able to search the archive and listen to thousands of past shows. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
What's in the news can greatly shape a culture.
What story has caught your eye recently?
We'll discuss that tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations.
Now more of Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and our guest is Carlo Broussard, author most recently of Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet, among his other books. And on the line is Lynn in Louisiana, who had two questions for us. The second one being, when Jesus says in Mark's Gospel, no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. Isn't that Jesus saying whether a person's in the church or outside the church doesn't matter? Okay, Carl, is that right?
Yeah. Lynn, okay. Did Cy summarize your question there adequately?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. All right, so this is Mark 9, 38 through 41. And Jesus does, I mean, there is an individual who's performing miracles in his name who are not walking with the disciples in Christ, right? They're not technically a part of their visible community yet. And Jesus says, he that is not against us is for us. Notice this, Lynn, this is actually a great text that you bring up because it fits with what we're saying, namely that it's possible for someone outside of the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church to be in relationship with Christ in invisible ways and be relating to Christ in virtue of his grace. That grace is operative. It's operating in the soul of the individual that happens to be outside of the visible boundaries. And notice, in this case, this is an individual for whom the grace of God is not only working invisibly, because this individual knows about the name of Christ.
Yeah.
He's actually performing miracles in the name of Jesus.
Right.
And what Jesus says, he that is not against us, notice that key qualification there, not against us is for us. So anybody who is not positively rejecting Jesus and saying no, Jesus, with full knowledge and making a deliberate act of the will, on condition that that person is fundamentally ordered towards the truth and pursuing that truth, living in accord with that truth as they come to know it, responding to whatever graces God is giving them and helping them, that individual is for Christ, whether invisibly as some, and in this case, this person is in some visible manner for Christ because he's preaching his name and performing miracles in his name. But that in no way takes away from the fact that the Catholic Church has been established by Christ because, as I mentioned earlier, Lynn, the church recognizes that God can work outside of the visible boundaries of the church. He has bound salvation to the sacraments and to the church, but he himself is not bound by the sacraments or the visible boundaries of the church. Now, what's interesting, Cy, is this is in contrast to Matthew 12:30, where Jesus says, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." But the context here is those who are opposing Jesus with a positive act of the will. In fact, yeah, in the very next few verses, Jesus talks about the sin against the Holy Spirit and how it will not be forgiven in this age nor in the age to come. So the context of Matthew 12 are those who are positively rejecting Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus is saying, if you're not with me, you're against me. So that's that context. But we can also hold at the same time Jesus' statement, anyone who is not against us is for us, which undergirds, provides a biblical precedence, right? A biblical basis for the church's understanding that, hey, God's grace can be operating in people's souls even outside the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church. Once again, that does not mean the visible boundaries of the Catholic Church are not necessary, right? That's important because Christ set it up that way. But it is to say that Christ can work outside those boundaries.
Lynn, I'm going to come back to you just see what you think. What do you think?
Okay. I mean, that sounds good. I mean, that's helpful. I'm not good with thinking real quick.
Oh, me neither. Oh, you and I. That's why I don't like Carlo.
No, that sounds good. I appreciate the explanation. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate that, Lynn. Let's go now to Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. William in Cincinnati, Ohio, you are next. Go ahead with your question for Carlo.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to talk a little bit. My first memories of the church were in the early 70s. I was a young person, so I saw the beginnings of the implementation of Vatican II, and everything was kind of all about love, right? And the banners, the burlap banners hanging in the church and so forth.
Okay.
And it was kind of interpreted, though, in an awkward or an inauthentic way, you know, like spanking your child when they run out in the street is love, but that was viewed as, ooh, that's, you can't do that. And okay, now everything, and so preaching on sin and so forth kind of stopped. Now you have this big emphasis on mercy. God loves me. He's merciful. You're outside of the church. Well, I'm good. I'm okay because God loves me. He's merciful. But God is also perfectly just.
Mm-hmm.
And we never talk about it. He's perfectly loving. He's perfectly merciful. And he's perfectly just. Why are we not talking about God's justice?
William, that's a very good question, and I can't speak for others, my friend, as to why we don't talk about God's justice. I am with you, and I agree with you, that we do need to strike a balance here, lest we lose the justice of God. I do think, personally, this is Carlo Broussard speaking, that many within the church have, with good intention, emphasized mercy, but unfortunately to the exclusion of justice. And that is not something that we want to do, because the Gospels are very clear that Christ will come to judge the living and the dead, the righteous will go to eternal life, the unrighteous will be damned. And that will be a manifestation of mercy for whatever good that we have pertaining to even natural goods, but most especially whatever good we have pertaining to our eternal destiny in heaven. It's pure grace coming from the grace of Jesus Christ. And whatever lack of grace that we have, right, and which ultimately results in damnation, is due to our refusal to accept his mercy, to accept his grace. And God's justice will be manifest in us receiving the, anybody receiving the due punishment that is to them, the punishment that is due to them, for turning away completely from their ultimate destiny, which is union with God. And I agree, William, that that needs to be preached, that needs to be taught, because that is the idea that God is only mercy is not the order of providence that God has willed. So let me restate that. The idea that God only manifests his mercy is not the order of providence that he has willed. It is possible that God could have simply given every single human being the graces that he gave to the Blessed Virgin Mary, such that there would be no manifestation of justice, right? Because nobody would sin, and everybody would be doing good things and would achieve salvation, and no justice would be manifest. But that's not the order of providence God willed. God willed an order of providence where he, in mercy, he gives grace to some, others he permits to fall into sin, and due to their abuse of freedom, they merit a due punishment to them. And as St. Thomas Aquinas says, that order of providence manifests both the mercy of God and the justice of God. And so I do think that those two aspects are necessary to teach and to emphasize. But at the same time, we always want to strike the proper balance so that we don't emphasize one to the exclusion of the other. Because it is possible, I'm sure you know, William, that it's possible to emphasize justice to the degree that it excludes the manifestation of God's mercy. And so as long as we can strike a healthy balance between those two, and I might add this, William, come to understand or have an appropriate understanding of God's justice, then I think that can be a healthy approach. And for that proper understanding of God's justice, I would recommend, William, that you get a hold of my book, Purgatory is for Real, Good News About the Afterlife for Those Who Aren't Perfect Yet. And in that book, I have a section where I think through what St. Thomas Aquinas calls the order of justice. Because when we're talking about purgatory, we're talking about the soul discharging any remaining debt of temporal punishment due for sin. But that assumes the concept of punishment, and that punishment is a good. And how are we to understand punishment as a good in light of God's divine providence? So I go through all of that in my book, and so you might find it interesting, William.
Let's send it to him.
Oh, fantastic. That would be great.
If we can get William's address online for Purgatory is for Real, we'll send him that. Our number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about why Catholic faith matters. Why does it matter to be a Catholic? If you've got a question in that regard, 888-318-7884. The 20 Answers Summer Reading Challenge has begun. We're offering a sampler of all 44 books in our 20 Answers series, and when you buy the whole collection of 44 books, you get 70% off. 70% off. I should say it this way: you're only paying 30%. And then the summer challenges. Can you read them all by the end of summer? If you do, I can tell you this: you'll have a very, very good catechesis in the faith, in morals, in challenges to the faith. You'll be very well prepared to defend your faith. 44 of them now in the 20 Answers series. Get them for just 30% of face value at shop.catholic.com.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He is honored by the church as one of the greatest enemies of clergy sexual abuse.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
In his time, St. Peter Damian fought against the many vices of contemporary clergy, especially sexual abuses among the clergy. In 1051, he wrote the Book of Gomorrah that is still considered essential reading for fighting abuse today. He died in 1072.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Carlo Broussard, our guest. And we're talking about why it matters to be Catholic. And if you have an objection to that assertion, that it's really important that you be Catholic, that there are very, very important reasons to be Catholic, you're welcome to call. Whether you're a Catholic, Protestant, other, or not Christian at all, 888-318-7884. The Catholic Church matters. It was founded by Jesus Christ, and you should get in it. That's our assertion. If you want to challenge that or you don't understand why we believe that, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Columbus, Nebraska.
Yeah, let's do it.
Dorothy, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio in Columbus, Nebraska. Thank you so much for your call, Dorothy. Go ahead with your question for Carlo. Hi, Dorothy.
Carlo?
Yes. How can I help you, Dorothy?
My son got away from the Catholic Church right after high school, and he went to a non-denominational that says, in fact, he stated Romans 10:9-11.
Mm-hmm.
For if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. And that's his mantra. That's what he says.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he got my ex-husband. He got him to state that a year before he died, so he knew he was in heaven.
Okay.
And I read all the. He had four or five different. He had three from John, and this one from Romans, and then there's another one from Acts. And he typed them all up and gave them. He typed those numbers up and gave them to me, and mailed them to me, and asked me, you know, he wants to me. To believe like he believes.
Oh,
well, I can't.
Right.
And so your question is, what do we say to your son? Like, what you might say to your son in response?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I think my.
It's Dorothy. It's okay. I'll tell you what. We'll go with that. How would Dorothy respond to her son,
right.
Basically? I think
yeah.
Is what she's asking. And if you just want to listen off air, Dorothy, that might be best if you can't hear us.
Through the phone, yeah.
Yeah. A son, and this is not the first time we've had Romans 9, 10, and 11 quoted to us. But that's the basis of her son who's been. And this is very, very common. A young Catholic gets fired up by what is preached at a non-denominational church, and what is preached there is an easier religion, a simpler religion than the one founded by Jesus.
And, so it's claimed.
So what do you say to the person who says, look, it says right there, just declare Jesus
right,
and you're
and
okay.
Belief. Yeah. Well, first of all, we affirm Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. But the question is, what does that belief entail? What does that involve? Is it merely at a one time entrusting yourself over to Jesus and then that's it? Or does it involve other things? Does this belief in Jesus, confessing him as Lord, involve other things? Well, we have to look to what our Lord reveals through him, through his own teaching, and what he inspired his disciples to write in the New Testament. So what we discover is that that belief is going to entail, initially at least, baptism, because St. Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter 3:21, teaches us that baptism now saves you. Okay, so belief, yes, that belief is going to entail repentance and turning away from our sin, but Scripture also reveals that we need to be baptized. St. Paul teaches in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, that when we are baptized, we die with Christ and we rise with Christ. And in verse 7, St. Paul teaches us that in that death we experience in baptism, that mystical death, we are freed from sin. The Greek word literally translates, we are justified from sin. So that's initially, right? That's what Jesus means when he says we need to be born again. Of course, that's going to entail belief, but that belief is ordered toward the waters of baptism that's revealed to us by Christ.
Yeah.
Now, after baptism, if the question is, well, what does that belief in Christ entail after baptism? Well, we know we have to hold fast to that confession. Check out what the author of Hebrews states in Hebrews 12:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So we must hold fast to that initial confession in Jesus as Lord. And according to Jesus himself in Matthew 10:22 and Matthew 24:13, we have to persevere until the end in that confession, the implication being, in order to be saved. And so the perseverance in union with Christ is necessary. Now, what else does this belief in Christ involve? Well, according to James chapter 2, verse 24, it involves good works, similar, according in the mind of James, to the obedience that Abraham showed to God in offering his son Isaac. And James teaches us, just as Abraham, it was reckoned to him as righteousness, when saying he offered his son Isaac to God, he was righteous and justified in doing that. So too, James says, we are justified by works and not by faith alone. Even throws in Rahab there as an example of her justice in coming to the Lord and in saving the lives of the Jewish spies. And so works come into play for us, good deeds that are charitable works, charitable actions come into play after we're initially united to Christ, initially saved. That confession of the Lord as Savior involves necessarily performing deeds of love, loving others as we love Christ, which is what Jesus himself teaches in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. That whatever you do to the least of my brethren, you do it to me. Those who perform acts of charity, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, they attain eternal life. Those who do not engage in these charitable deeds go to eternal damnation, right? And so Jesus reveals to us himself, a part of our relationship with him is to serve him, loving him, and serving and loving others. That's a part of the confession in Jesus as our Lord that initially takes place going through the waters of baptism and we hold fast to until the end of our lives in order to be finally saved when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're judged according to our works, whether we've done whatever we've done in the body, whether good or bad, as St. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Yes, verse 10.
Okay. I don't know if Dorothy was able to hang on, but I was wondering about giving her a copy of your book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge, Answering a Biblical Objection.
Yes, I deal with some of these issues in that book that might be helpful to her.
Yeah, so as they come up, she might even find them right there in the book.
Amen to that.
So if Dorothy hang on, let's send her Meeting the Protestant Challenge. If she didn't, and if you're listening at home, Dorothy, if you want to call back, We'll send you a copy of that book. Thank you so much. We're talking about why it matters to be Catholic. If you object to that, that it matters to be Catholic, or if you would like a clarification about how to understand that, 888-318-7884. Well, thank you, Dorothy. We're going to go to Guadalupe Radio now. Mary in Texas listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are next, Mary. Thank you so much for your call. Go ahead with your question for Carlo.
Hi, this is, thank you for taking my call, and I grew up in South Louisiana, so I love listening.
Fantastic.
That's why you have that good accent, huh, Mary?
Every once in a while, I can let it slip, Sha.
Do we lose her?
Oh, I lost her with the Cajun accent.
What happened to Mary? Hang up on her. What happened?
Oh, Mary, if you're listening, please call back.
That was a complete accident,
Something
Mary.
Happened.
But I did not do it. I don't want anybody looking at me. I was not even in the stack. So that's so funny. She's so nice. She speaks to us in a beautiful Louisiana accent.
Her.
And then we're just like, thanks, Mary. Boom. See ya.
Please call back, Mary.
You know what, Mary? It matters to be Catholic because there's forgiveness in the Catholic
Amen.
Church. And we're going to need a little forgiveness from you. Why did she? I just saw she called back and that call ended. What's going on? Is it her? Maybe it's her phone. Maybe it's on
okay.
her.
Okay. Try another
Mary,
phone, Mary.
I'll tell you what. You're going to the top of the line next hour. Okay, Mary? You're going to the top of the line. Well, here, let me just see if I can put her straight on the air. All right? Mary, are you there with us?
This is Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Yes, we got you. Fantastic.
Are you the Mary that we just
this
lost?
Is crazy. This is the third time I've called, and I've gotten cut off every time.
Yeah, it doesn't. Go ahead and give us your question, but at least we'll have that in case we lose
okay.
you.
Okay. It's about a book that a friend of mine gave me, and it's called The Jewish Jesus by David Hofbrand, I think is his last name.
Uh-huh.
Have you read that, or have you heard of that?
I have not. Unfortunately, I have not.
Well, write it down. You may want to read it. Just for some thought.
Okay.
And his, I can narrow it down here, pretty much that historically in the first century, Jews were hated, and everything possible to get the Jew out of the church happened. Speaking historically. And his premise is Jesus was a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And he observed as a Jew.
Correct.
And he kept the feast and he went to synagogue and
all of that is correct, Mary, but his assertion is that the early Christian church tried to keep Jews out?
To diminish the Jewishness.
It was Hellenized and overly Greek influence.
Oh,
maybe perhaps.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe that's the that argument.
And so by now that the Jewishness of who Jesus was when he walked on earth has been so diluted or taken out that we are missing so much of the richness of the Jewish faith.
Mm. I would say, Mary, and I'll let Carlo address this, but it does seem to me there's been a rediscovery of this over the course of the last 50 years among Christian scholars. We have loads and loads of Christian scholars, like John Bergsma writing about the Dead Sea Scrolls, and Christian scholars who are deeply immersed in the Judaism of the first century into which Jesus was born.
Amen to that.
Because you can't understand the scriptures without knowing about the Jewishness of
Jesus.
That's
right. But like St. Jerome said, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ.
Right.
And some have said he was referring to the Old Testament there.
And also, Jerome learned to speak Hebrew and went to live in Israel.
Yeah. All right. So, Mary, I have not read Hofbrand's book. And so I can't comment exactly on what he wrote, but I can comment on the ideas that you're articulating here. And like Cy said, there is a tremendous amount of scholarship in New Testament biblical studies that shows the Jewishness of Jesus. I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head right now. I can think of Dr. Brant Petrie. He's a Catholic Bible scholar, and he wrote a book, Jesus and the Jewish Roots of the Eucharist. Mary and... The Jewish Roots of Mary. I can't remember the title.
Yeah. Right,
or the Jewish Roots
likely,
of Mary.
Yeah.
But Dr. Brant Petrie, you know, Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. John Bergma, John Kincaid, and many others have written on the Jewishness of Jesus. Dr. Brant Petrie wrote a book on the Last Supper, looking at the Last Supper just in light of the Jewish context. And I'm coming up on the end of the hour here, and I wish there was more I could say, but maybe on the in the other hour.
Well, if our system doesn't hang up on you, hang on, Mary, and we'll talk to you again next hour, because we shortchanged you because we dropped you a couple times. Jesus and the Jewish Roots of Mary is the name of Brant Petrie's book. And I know that's
wait, cool.
I think so. Dang it, now maybe I got that wrong. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Carlo and I are going to see what we're going to memorize all of Brant Petrie's book titles, and we'll be right back.